is Free Talk Live, and we're launching into the second hour of the program. You can dial in toll-free, bring up anything you would like. 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. With you in studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nemi.
And Mark. We've been talking about the military and suicide, two things that appear to go together hand in hand these days, with epidemic levels of suicides both in and out of the military, meaning military veterans are killing themselves as well as people that are active duty, and they don't know quite what to do about it. Of course, here's a hint. You could always end all of these insane wars that are going on and stop putting people in harm's way unnecessarily. That would probably help. But until then, you can pretty much count that people are going to continue to see horrible things and be a part of horrible things and therefore want to not be around anymore to have to contemplate that those horrible things into the future.
See no other way out.
Yeah. So, Nemi, you wanted to share with us a related story.
I did.
We were talking about how these judges in the military court, the highest level appeals court in the military, are looking at this issue of should prosecutors in the military be going after these people, meaning that if you fail at your suicide, should they prosecute you for it?
Right.
And that's what's happening. People are being prosecuted for failing at suicide, and the judges were debating whether or not that should continue on or whether or not it's even their place to make that decision. So odds are good they're probably not going to make that decision, but we don't know yet what's going to pan out. And it led to the kind of the question of, well, you know, should the military be compassionate? And should they?
Is it even an organization that
can they be?
Yeah, should have compassion in sort of its mission statement.
I don't think it does, for starters. And I think that
treat people like they're just throwaway,
right? Their equipment,
tissue. Well,
their
to
equipment.
Some extent, the intention is to toughen individuals, right? And one would have to ask: is it possible to be compassionate while toughening people?
Certainly.
And I don't know if that's possible. And I don't know if, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. I think the fundamental problem, one of the fundamental problems that the military faces is the fact that it actually makes it impossible for you to quit, or very difficult for you to quit. So
that's a huge problem.
There you've got the problem with, you know, people who do not want to be there. They only are going to cause morale problems, attempt to commit suicide.
Why would you want those people in your ranks? Why would you want to hire some? Why would you hire somebody for your business who then proceeds to urinate all over the floor or insult your customers or destroy the displays? I mean, you would not want that person around. And similarly, you wouldn't want somebody who was going to poison your other, you know, the mindsets of the other people there. But to your point about toughening people, it's, you know, the basic training part that's supposed to toughen them. And if you know, and that works to some extent, right? You know, they're going to get physically strong. They're going to be, you know, told what to do, and they're going to respond and all that. But then eventually, the breaking part happens later on, right? So these people that are committing suicide, I wonder how many of them are in basic training versus over in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it is that they're fighting versus, you know, in the VA. I don't imagine there's as many suicides during basic training because you haven't seen the horrors of war yet
point. And I imagine some people want to go home once they get there. And
if you don't make it out of basic, you're not going to be deployed. So it's quite possible to get kicked out of basic. It's pretty easy to get kicked out of basic, actually.
So I get what you're saying about the toughening people up, but I think the compassion should come on the other side. I mean, I don't think there should be a military, but, you know, if it's going to exist, people should at least show compassion to people that need to be shown compassion. And at the point at which these tough guys break down, then it's over for them at that point. I don't think that, you know, once they're broken individuals, I don't think that you're going to toughen them right back up.
I absolutely agree with that.
I would agree. And I think further to your point, Ian, as if I'm an employer and I have someone peeing on the floor, if I'm not able to fill that spot, if I don't have someone else that can fill that employee's position, I may need a warm body who's peeing on the floor to get me to the next day of business. And
I don't think so.
I know it's a stretch. You would shut it down, but you know,
down so you can find the right
but
people.
that's not how the military operates. And the military is not, you know, someone in chat at the LRN chat mentioned this, and I saw it myself too, is lies on the part of recruiters. years. Promises and broken promises. And, you know, you're 16, 17, 18 years old sometimes when you're going in to talk to these people about the promise for your future. And they give you a song and dance, and you sign up, and you go find out what it's really like, and you want out because somebody lied to you. You don't get out because someone lied to you.
And that comes back to compensation. Compensation is, you know, if somebody can go through the military and spend 6 years in special forces or something like that, and, you know, one of these elite cadres get out, join one of these, you know, military contracting organizations and get paid five times what they were getting paid previously, what that says to me is that they were getting paid less than market value for their work. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you'd be able to do that is by threatening them with jail or something, treating them like a slave. So this, you know, also an interesting aspect is I've been told, and I'm not 100% sure the legality of this, but that companies really aren't allowed to give recommendations for employees any longer. The bigger the company, the more likely it is that all you'll be able to say is yes, Ian Freeman worked here from this date to this date, and that's all they'll tell you. They won't say he was a good employee, he was surly, he came to work without being shaven, or, you know, whatever it is that they won't give you any kind of recommendation at all. But the military has all kinds of designations for your release. There's honorable discharge, there's less than honorable discharge, there's general discharge, there's all kinds of these. There's dishonorable discharge. So they've got all kinds of ways to be discharged. And I think that that may be part of the root of this problem, too, that people are concerned about leaving the military, because you could leave the military. All you have to do is basically refuse to work or, you know, depart. And mostly they don't do anything about it. They don't do very much at all about it.
That's what we've been told.
That's what we've been told by people who have done it.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I haven't been there, but that's the evidence that we've got on this side. And so, I mean, it's the concern about what is this discharge going to do to the rest of my life? Well, I might as well kill myself. I'm going to get a less than honorable discharge. You know, I mean, if the less than honorable discharge designation is killing people, maybe we should get rid of it.
Seems, I don't know if that's what's driving people to suicide, but then again, we don't know. We don't have it, whatever the suicide
people
notes
feel
were.
Trapped. I think part of it is people feel trapped.
I think it's unreasonable to say that. That is a primary concern of someone who's committing suicide in the military, is the status of their discharge.
I don't know what...
I'm going to guess the primary one is the stuff they saw that they can't erase. Right.
Desperation will cause people to... There's people committing suicide stateside, too. Desperation will cause people to act in strange ways, and if you give them fewer and fewer outs, you're more likely to create desperation.
All right, so, Nemi, what did you want to share with us?
I wanted to share with you a New York Times article from June of this year where Leon Panetta was speaking about suicide prevention in the military. I'll start with a quote from Cynthia Smith, the Defense Department spokeswoman at the time, said the Pentagon had sought to remind commanders that those who seek counseling should not be stigmatized. This is a troubling issue, and we are committed to getting our service members the help they need, she said. I want to emphasize that getting help is not a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength. Now, this is a woman saying this, who works for the Defense Department. But that the getting help is not a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength, is not generally the view taken by anyone, especially the military.
Mm-hmm.
So in a letter to military commanders in May, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta said that, quote, suicide prevention is a leadership responsibility, and added that commanders and supervisors cannot tolerate any actions that belittle, haze, humiliate, or ostracize any individual, especially those who require or are responsibly seeking professional services. But veterans
groups...
Which
suggests that that's going on. Right, that
veterans
people are being made fun of and such.
Oh, sure. Well, that can be said of civilian life as well. Veterans groups said in response that the Pentagon had not done enough to moderate the tremendous stress under which combat troops live, including coping with multiple deployments. Quote, it is clear that the military, at the level of the platoon, the company, and the battalion, that these things are not being addressed on a compassionate and understanding basis, said Bruce Perry, chairman of the Coalition of Veterans Organizations, a group based in Illinois. They need to understand on a much deeper level the trauma the troops are facing.
855-450-FREE, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up what you want here, and we'll continue. Military and compassion, can they be mixed? Sounds like some people want that to happen. 1-855-450-FREE. What's your experience and thoughts? Share them. Free Talk Live.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus.
Mars and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum vibes. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from Mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
This is a high Christmas priority for the survivalist on your gift list.
Ho, ho, ho!
For a very limited time, MyPatriotSupply.com is offering 30% off a special Christmas preparedness package. Now through December 14th only. Stuff a stocking with a preparedness package that includes a 72-hour, 16-serving food kit, an emergency quick stove with four fuel discs, plus a five-pack of replacement fuel discs, two LifeStraw personal water filters, one magnesium fire starter, a four-pack of waterproof matches, and a $25 gift certificate to MyPatriotSupply.com. Regularly over $140, but now only $99. With free shipping to the lower 48, only from MyPatriotSupply.com and only through December 14th. Hurry to MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. Merry Christmas from MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And you can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com. Got a mobile site for you. You can go there to get quick access to our live streams over at m.freetalklive.com. M as in mobile, .freetalklive.com. Like the rest of our website, we give it away.
Have you ever wanted to take a complaint to court, but you didn't want to spend the money on an attorney? I mean, attorneys are expensive.
No kidding.
Pardon me. HowToWinInCourt.com is the solution. It's, of course, for people who don't have an attorney. Or if you do have an attorney, it's a way to, you know, it's good to know what your attorney should be doing. That way you can check on their work. It teaches you the court's rules, and until you know the court's rules, you're fighting in the dark. You're not going to have any chance to win at all. It works for plaintiffs or defendants in civil or criminal matters in state or federal courts. This is the new and improved jurisdictionary courts, if you're familiar with us talking about them in the past, howtowinincourt.com. It's written so the average eighth grader can learn it over the weekend. howtowinincourt.com, their brand new website, has all kinds of free tools. Go there, use the free tools, buy the course. It costs less than an hour with any good attorney. It's howtowinincourt.com. When you finish the course, you get an honorary degree of Juris Doctor. It's howtowinincourt.com.
All right, so 855-450-FREE, that's the toll-free number. We're talking about the military and compassion. Is it possible for the two to mix? Well, some in the military apparently think that it should. It should be possible that they should at least give a nod towards compassion in instances where people are being absolutely broken as human beings and still expected to, you know, be seen as this bit tough as nails badass. And I'm sorry that, you know, once you get to that point, and I can't understand it. Thankfully, I've never had to go through these things. But from my observation, once you get to the point of being broken, like many of these men, that, you know, there's no coming back from that.
I have another interesting statistic here from the executive director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Said suicides among active duty military personnel are the tip of the iceberg. He cited a survey that group conducted this year, this is 2012, among its 160,000 members that found that 37% knew someone who had committed suicide.
Hmm. Wow.
It's mind-boggling.
It's an epidemic, and they've used that term, and I think it's an overused term in our society, but it's an epidemic.
And then there's the question of what to be done about it, or what is exacerbating the problem. This spokesperson, the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan's Veterans of America, attributed the rise in military suicides to too few qualified mental health professionals, aggravated by the stigma of receiving counseling and further compounded by family stresses and financial problems. I read an article not that long ago in Time about the weight that the military folks who have come back to the United States face when they're dealing with the VA. I remember as a kid, my dad, retired Army, never wanted to deal with the VA. He either went to base or he didn't go, or he went to a private person. He did not want to deal with the Veterans Administration at all. And I just really think that this is the biggest problem here is that the people who want help are not able to get it
from the military.
From the military.
In a lot of cases, we've heard about how people with PTSD after being in the military and experiencing horrible traumatic things, that the military will then determine that. Oh, well, you've had that. Yeah, you had that before you joined the military.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, that's a pre-existing PTSD, so therefore we don't have to pay for that. Oh, yeah, we know you saw terrible things and everything while you were in the military, but we've diagnosed you appropriately and determined that you had this prior to joining, so therefore we're denying you coverage, denying you the benefits that we told you you'd have for your whole life.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mark. I just think that that is coming more from a money standpoint, because it's just... If this is the level that they're looking at dealing with on a medical treatment level, that they're just not, A, they're not able to meet the demand, and B, they're not able to afford to meet
the demand.
I don't
believe it. I mean, they got all kinds of money. Can it really be a money issue?
Well, I do think that they have they have a budget crunch, but they don't have confusion in their budgets.
Their priorities.
Right. They just don't understand priorities because they're not worked out properly. Yeah. The bigger the organization, the less efficient it's going to run. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, big organization. Also, the less accountable the organization, the less efficiently it's going to run. The military, all you have to do is ask somebody who's been in the military, is it a highly inefficient organization?
Oh, yeah. So they tell you about all the waste they saw.
They don't allocate money towards these areas the right way. Now, we've talked to a lot of people who have had a lot of experience that were positive with the VA. Mm-hmm. And we've talked to a lot of people that have had negative experiences. Mm-hmm. And this isn't necessarily saying that every VA experience is going to be a horrifying one. But if you have enough bad experiences with the VA, you're going to stop going.
Even dealing with medical care on base as a kid, when I was covered under the umbrella of my dad's care. You were still very much in number, this is one of the primary reasons I'm opposed to government operated health care, because I saw government operated health care and I was not impressed with it. And just dealing with my medical interactions with doctors, my family, I just don't think that the priority is put on the soldiers who are coming home. I've said on this show before, completely aside from the basis of taxation and war, I think principally speaking, anyone who serves in the military should be screened for PTSD when they come home. I don't think that necessarily taxpayer dollars should be going to fund it, but I think it should. I just think principally it's the responsible thing to do, because these guys are going over and they're seeing things and doing things that they can't deal with, and coming home and finding absolutely no support.
Yeah.
And this is what it comes to, and I think that's just a tragedy myself.
I feel like I might have been too negative earlier when I said that, you know, they can't get better from being broken. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think
I think in a lot of cases it is true.
I think that you can you know, you don't have to be stuck in despair. You can certainly try to, you know, work toward healing yourself on that, but ultimately you'll never be the person you once were.
Certainly, that's
and,
true.
I don't think you'll ever be the soldier.
You don't get to erase
again.
Those things. Yeah.
And that's true as well.
Yeah, I think you can come back from it,
yeah.
And there's a lot of evidence.
You
that
can live
you
a
can.
Productive life. You can, you know, things can get better for you.
But I don't think you can be a soldier properly, you know, in the same way that you could before.
That's
no,
definitely true. And I'm not sure I agree with you necessarily, Ian, because I've personally seen friends who are very, very affected by...
You've had friends take their lives.
Yeah.
There, right?
Yep. From their experiences and what they've seen, you know, I don't know that I would handle seeing burning body parts in a wheelbarrow for as long as my friend did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not even the major things that affected him so much. Most of his things included kids, you know, and seeing kids die over there. But
hard
I just
to drop bombs and not kill kids.
You know, I understand, yeah. And so I don't envy the decision. I don't, but I think it's important.
They don't realize what they're getting into either, right?
No.
Because you're dealing with teenagers who are the recruits. These young guys are 17, 18 years old when they're being recruited. They're fresh out of high school, or they're fresh off the football field, or fresh from behind the computer screen where they're icing their buddies on, you know, some first person shooter. You know, where you hit the space bar and you respawn on the level. 855-450-FREE. And none of that can prepare anybody for, you know, the real life horror of actual combat and the other things that go along with it. The terrible, you know, inhumane things that people do to one another in war situations. 855-450-FREE. They just don't know what to expect.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here at 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Join us online over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features on the site. We give them away. And those features include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send in their validated photo or video, which prove that they are listeners of the program. You can see what I mean by going to shrine.freetalklive.com and get details on the top of the website or top of the page there as to how to become a member of the Shrine if you are a lady listener of Free Talk Live. So go to shrine.freetalklive.com.
The having has occurred.
The having
what time?
Has occurred.
What time was it?
It was earlier today in the morning time.
Was it 10:30-ish?
Yeah, the Bitcoin mining having thing.
Meaning mining just got
half
more difficult? That much more difficult?
Half as profitable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you call that more difficult or not, but it's half as profitable as it was yesterday.
And you would have to mine twice as much in order to mine as much as you would have yesterday?
Well, it's to have as many chances to earn bitcoins, as I understand
okay.
it. I'm not 100% sure how the mining thing works. It's not something that I'm into. But
you don't have to mine bitcoins to have bitcoins and to engage in transactions with bitcoins. This is
sure.
something that a very small percentage of bitcoin people do.
In the same way, you don't have to work for the Federal Reserve and print money in order to have cash.
Yeah.
The bitcoins is an online, peer-to-peer, open-source currency that allow people to send and receive money on the internet without having to pay any fees. They allow virtual, at least potential anonymity if you wish to use them in that way. And they give you complete control of your money. I think bitcoins are a groundbreaking technology. But, you know, there's some excitement today in the Bitcoin world because those that mine Bitcoins, it has been halved, the amount of money that one will mine if one mines Bitcoins.
Now, why is this relevant to the average Bitcoiner? I mean,
it's
obviously
not.
This is something that is going to upset, I would think, a lot of the miners out there because now they're
well, they knew it was coming.
Return. That they were getting before. But why, you know, I thought this was relevant to the average person because it indicates something.
Well, it was a prediction of mine that prices would increase as a result, supply, demand. We haven't seen any movement in prices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's, I don't know if you're going to see it come a little later. I don't know if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prediction I made, and, if you listen to predictions people on the radio, good luck to you. I believed that it was going to go up, and I still am holding out hope that it's going to go up. I'm continuing. I am well invested in bitcoins.
It could go down.
Any recommendations I make, I am thoroughly invested in. So, you know, there you go. I pay a little bit of attention. I sincerely hope they go up, but at this point, we haven't seen any real upward motion. We saw them at 1250 in the last few days, and they're at 1235 right now.
So they're down.
Well, if you call 15 cents down,
yeah,
they're pretty volatile and they move around. So I wouldn't call that. I don't call that down.
Are you going to buy some more bitcoins?
I don't need to buy any more bitcoins. I'm thoroughly invested in bitcoins.
I see.
No, I'm not going to buy any more bitcoins. We get paid in bitcoins here at Free Talk Live, so I don't need to buy them.
You already have some coming in.
We have them coming in. What I have to decide is how many of them am I going to sell in order to turn into cash so I can pay things like mortgages and like power bills.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. So if people want to learn more about bitcoins, they should go to weusecoins.org.
Well, I think that the best place to go is to go to bitcoin.freetalklive.com. We've turned that into a bit of a clearinghouse as far as...
there's some useful links there. That's what you mean by clearinghouse.
Yeah, there's some useful links. And then there's more links to investigate further if you want to, you know, continue to investigate.
There you go.
I think that bitcoins are, you know, they're an amazing invention. They're an online currency. So there you go.
855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. I feel like we've pretty much run this military topic through its course here. Certainly you're welcome to add to it with your experiences, your thoughts. 855-450-FREE. And other news, since we've kind of got the international flavor here thus far, the Tahrir Square has filled with people. Hundreds of thousands of them.
Wow.
And the photos are pretty striking.
Hundreds of thousands of people in one place would be striking.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of protesters, this according to the globeandmail.com, called for the ouster of Egypt's first freely elected president on Tuesday, descending on Cairo's Tahrir Square in a scene reminiscent of the height of last year's Egyptian revolution. Chanting many of the same refrains they did in 2011, such as, "The people demand the downfall of the regime." Roughly 200,000 activists and citizens from across the spectrum of Egyptian society took to the square. The gathering reflected the increasing polarization of the country's politics between supporters of President Mohamed Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood and almost every opposition group in Egypt. Many demonstrators also appeared to shift the focus of their anger to Mr. Morsi himself, rather than the series of controversial decrees issued by the president last week. The orders render Mr. Morsi's decisions immune to court challenges until the country's new constitution is drafted and grant the same immunity from court oversight to the Islamist-dominated body drafting the constitution. Mr. Morsi and his supporters described the move as temporary but necessary, which is always the excuse for more power. Whenever government bureaucrats aggregate power to themselves, they always claim, "Well, I really didn't want to have to do this, but it's necessary. I'm sorry,
Law is necessary.
Right. We need to have these powers at this time, but don't worry, we'll relinquish them later on."
Well, generally,
they always do that.
In U.S. history, generally, that's the case. They do relinquish much of the power, but they always keep a little more than they had prior to the taking of the power. And I don't know how it's going to go.
Maybe historically, but recently that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, it hasn't really been the case, you know, since 9/11.
Bush aggregated more power to himself. Barack Obama aggregated more power to himself. And none of them said, you know, this was a really bad idea. Let's release this power.
Well, they never claim it was a bad idea. They claim it is necessary. You know, but Lincoln did all kinds of terrible things during the unconstitutional things during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But many people would claim, well, it was necessary. And the size of the military dramatically shifted after the Civil War. I mean, all kinds of people were let go. Custer, who was killed at Little Bighorn, he was, please don't hold me to this, but he was demoted from like a general or a colonel to down to like a captain.
I think it was a sergeant.
No, it couldn't have been he wouldn't have gone out to an enlisted and we can look it up. But you know, it was a dramatic drop in rank, and there was shrinkage even after World War II. After World War I, after World War II, there was shrinkage in the size of government, size of the military.
What's interesting looking at this case, and we'll tell you more about it here in a moment, but there's There's a lot of talk in this country about the secession petitions, right? That these people, oh, look at these darn Republicans, they're so angry that their man lost, that they're just signing these petitions to secede. They want to secede, their guy lost, this is terrible. There's a lot of talk about that. But look at what they're doing in you know, Cairo in comparison. I mean, in Egypt, people are taken to the streets. I mean, they're upset about this election, and they are taken to the streets over it in you know, numbers in the hundreds of thousands. And the American electorate, well, they can be bothered to sign a petition, but to do anything beyond that, of course, would be, well, a little bit too inconvenient. I mean, can't possibly miss a day of work or you know, miss the football game that might be on that afternoon. I mean, just the level of dedication to people and what they actually believe in other countries seems to be a whole lot more there.
Hmm. We've talked about... you know, here the amount of executive orders that have gone on for different presidents, and you know, the idea is that I've heard Barack Obama has significantly more executive orders than the presidents that have you know, preceded him. But you know, you don't see Americans reacting in that way.
Nope. Opponents see it as a power grab that gives Mr. Morsi arguably more control than his authoritarian predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. With the constitution of the Arab world's most populous nation and a crucial U.S. ally at stake, many of Mr. Morsi's detractors fear the Islamist president could set the country off the course of democracy, undoing Egypt's 22-month-old revolution. Mr. Morsi, and what I saw last night, captions of one of the pictures of this huge swarm of people occupying Tahrir Square, was that they plan on occupying the square until this regime, as they call it, steps down. So this is a pretty serious call for support in this movement. 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves, whereas the calls for secession seem to have petered out after a week in the U.S. I doubt these folks are going to peter out after a few days there. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your LifeStraw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Attention all men with a beer belly. Research from the Mayo Clinic proves that men who carry fat in their midsection have a higher risk of health problems, such as heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and even cancer. If this is you, we have good news. Because men who need to lose 30 pounds or more instantly qualify for a free trial of Sensa for Men, a new and easy way for men to lose weight all over. To experience effective weight loss results without calorie counting, meal plans, or traditional dieting, you must be a male over the age of 25 and need to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-936-2858 now and request your free 30-day trial. In a six-month study, one of the largest weight loss studies ever conducted, participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa for Men. Now, you can too. Call and instantly qualify for your free trial of Sensa for Men. 1-800-936-2858. Strict limit of one free trial per household. 1-800-936-2858.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping.
Call now, 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Join us online at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we give to you on the site. News updates are included, so you can go to news.freetalklive.com, and that's where you can sign up for our emailed updates. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook, whatever your preference. One of those three options should fit you. So go to news.freetalklive.com and get signed up there. Again, news.freetalklive.com. Our number here, again, is 855-450-FREE. We're discussing what's going on as we speak, apparently, over in Tahrir Square. I saw this story last night on what clued me into it was Facebook. It's my love-hate relationship with Facebook. I hate it that I spend so much time on Facebook, but every now and then I find really useful
really
things on
stories,
there.
Yeah.
And that I might not have otherwise seen, because this is not, you know, the headline on the Drudge Report. This is not the top picture on the Drudge Report. In fact, I don't even know if it's being mentioned there. How much news media is covering this in the U.S., I don't know. But it's certainly being covered on the international scene, and that is that there are approximately 200,000 people who have gathered in Tahrir Square in Egypt to protest their frustration with this power grab by Mr. Morsi, who is apparently the new president of Egypt. They claim he was democratically elected, but obviously some people are pretty upset about that. And unlike the American citizenry who have signed petitions in support of secession, which, of course, many of those petitions are actually begging to have permission to secede. They're not actually saying that we will secede. They're just, you know, kind of groveling and hoping that the president will give them the authority to leave. So there's, you know, a stark contrast and difference there between what one group of protesters is doing versus another. And, of course, a lot of people signing the secession petitions really, I don't think, would have cared whether it was Romney who won or Obama who won. That's why I signed. I don't care who wins.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak to the, you know, the mindset of everybody who signed these. I wouldn't claim to do that at all.
I know everybody I know that signed them wouldn't have cared who won the presidential election.
We kind of live in a bit of an echo chamber, Ian. I mean, we live, work, and often do business with people who have moved for the Free State Project and believe the ideas of liberty. I don't think you can say that.
Well, I didn't say most of the signers were one way or another. I just said a lot of them probably don't care either way.
Okay. I don't care either way.
Yeah. So, back to the story here, though, about the people in Tahrir Square. Again, it's happening right now, and I checked on the story today, and they apparently are still there. The power grab, according to Mr. Morsi, the country's new president, was absolutely necessary. Temporary, but necessary, he says, and his supporters say that. They claim they want to protect the goals of the Egyptian revolution and ensure the constitution crafting process isn't sidelined by loyalists of the previous Egyptian regime. Opponents see it as a power grab that gives Morsi more control than his authoritarian predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. With its constitution of the Arab world's most populous nation at stake, many of his detractors fear that he could set the country off course of democracy, undoing the 22-month-old revolution. His meeting with some of the country's top judges on Monday appeared to lay the groundwork for some form of compromise over the decrees, but there's still much confusion over what Mr. Morsi actually promised the judiciary. The central issue of discussion between the president and the judges is Mr. Morsi's apparent promise to use his unchecked powers only in matters of sovereignty. Some have taken that to mean only matters related directly to the drafting of the Constitution, but the precise definition remains unclear. While Tahrir Square itself remained packed but peaceful on Tuesday, sporadic violence broke out in some of the side streets connecting to the square.
I can't imagine it wouldn't. I mean, when you have people there, you know, in hundreds of thousands of people.
Some cop's going to show up in plain clothes and throw a bottle or start a fight.
It could be, or people are passionate enough to get out there into Tahrir Square. Look, I consider any infringement on my liberties to be a threat to my life. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, your liberty is your life. And if you don't have that, you don't really have a life. So I can see why people would react that way. Absolutely. I mean, this is a frightening thing. Supposedly, they had an election so that they could have a leader who would abide by the rules or whatever. And they feel like they're going to get back what they just got rid of.
All right. The dude comes into office and then declares himself,
God king.
He can't help that you can't hurt this guy. The judge can't touch him.
But his explanation is understandable when he makes it. And so that's what, you know, makes this kind of tough to deal with. I don't know where to look at on this one. His claim is that you've got these old Mubarak judges, Hosni Mubarak, the previous dictator, appointed these judges. And so these judges are basically standing in the way of him having any progress in, you know, allowing democracy to actually take root. By democracy, he means him having dictatorial power.
Right, so the wannabe dictator is saying, oh, these judges are just in my way. I want to help everybody. I just want to help everybody, but I just can't do it without having total absolute power.
Well, I mean, and if the judiciary...
You're confused as to where to stand on this? I mean, aggregating power to one individual is a problem.
I'm not confused. My claim is that it's difficult to evolve yourself towards liberty. Do you understand? They're using the same governmental structure. All they did was kick out the guy who claimed the presidency as his own for 40 years, and then took another guy comes in and he says, well, I'll leave in 4 years, but the rest of the corrupt system is still in place.
Well, in the meantime, protesters near Mohammed Mahoud Street, the site of a demonstration that predates Mr. Morsi's decrees by 4 days, threw rocks at security forces who responded with tear gas canisters. Outside Cairo, the violence in some regions was more acute. According to the Muslim Brotherhood, some of the organization's offices were torched by anti-Morsi demonstrators. In Mahalla, Nile Delta city, supporters and opponents of the president engaged in skirmishes that left dozens injured. The confrontation showed little sign of dissipating anytime soon, as both the Muslim Brotherhood and its opponents have more demonstration planned for later this week. Many worried that Tuesday's violence would be far worse, but Brotherhood officials decided to cancel a rival rally that might have ended in a confrontation with Tahrir demonstrations. As street protests over the decrees enter their sixth day, Mr. Morsi appears caught in a bind. By refusing to back down, he risks further galvanizing his opponents and sparking more protests.
Yeah.
But if he does concede, he could come across as politically weak
and
lose support among his Islamist base. During Tuesday's protest in Tahrir, members of myriad political parties could be seen organizing marches and waving placards as the chants ringing out through the square shifted from cries against the decrees to calls for Mr. Morsi himself to step down. The Muslim Brotherhood showed few signs of backing down, instead painting the demonstrators who showed up in Tahrir Square as supporters of Mr. Mubarak looking to derail the country's revolution. Quoting Mr. Morsi's spokesman, the Brotherhood's official Twitter account posted a note saying there would be no turning back. Decree is staying. Those not willing to reach a point of stability will be held accountable to God and history.
If you don't support our candidate, God doesn't like you.
Yep.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. God gets all the blame in these situations, doesn't he?
And the credit, depending on which side you look at.
And everybody holds up their version of God and vote for, if you don't vote for my God, you're evil. It just...
It can't be the same guy, right?
I mean,
if both sides are praying that they win, praying to God that they win this war, are they praying to the same guy?
Well, I'm sure the other side believes they're praying to the devil.
The right God.
I don't know.
Your thoughts are certainly welcome as history continues to unfold over in Egypt. 6 days now, apparently, these street protests have been going on. I don't know at what point they reached 200,000 people, but that's hard to really envision for me.
That's a big protest.
That's huge. I mean, 200,000 people is larger than most cities in America. I mean, that's larger than the city of Manchester, the population of Manchester, New Hampshire. There's no city in New Hampshire that has 200,000 people in
it. Well, you don't get to see a city all together at once. And what it makes me think of is like a football game. And when you think about a stadium, it's
even
usually,
then you're probably looking at what, 50,000?
50 or 60,000 is what fits in a stadium.
Yeah.
So the quantity of people that are in four football stadiums, that's a lot. I mean, if you've ever been to one of these things and seen them, I mean, it's just a lot of people.
It is tremendous to look at, and it's a level of involvement that you just don't see here. I mean, for anything. The million whatever march, the million fill in the blank. There have been a bunch of these since there was the original one. It was
the Million Man March.
Right.
And even that, I think, only had like 100,000 or
which
something.
Which is a tremendous out, you know.
Which
I mean,
is way
the
more.
The only problem with the Million Man March was that they billed it as a Million Man March.
Yeah.
I mean, getting 100,000 people out to your protest is incredible.
But ever
getting
since
two
then,
dozen people out to your protest is incredible.
Right. Ever since then, nothing has come close to the Million Man March. I mean, the Million Man March was the most successful million fill in the blank that I think has occurred here. If I'm wrong, please clarify, let me know. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. But usually any other million whatever we're going to march on DC turns into a few hundred folks or maybe a few thousand at most. 855-450-FREE. Then again, why bother going to DC and marching at all? Because it's not like the politicians care. More coming up. Hour 3's next. You take control. Free Talk Live.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
Baa baa black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.